Good morning. In the name of the God who makes all things new. Amen. Happy Rogation Day. Yes, you heard that right. Happy Rogation Day. There's no reason why any of you would regularly use the word Rogation Day in your vocabulary. The idea of the rogation days are left over from the days when farmers were thought to be more essential to life than attorneys or CEOs of companies or even seminary students. A rogation day comes from a time when children grew up knowing that peanuts were grown underground and that eggs started out warm in nests. Over the past few weeks, I've been taking a class at Luther called Bible and Ecology, and we've been diving into the deep and rich tradition in Scripture, which is an overwhelming love for all of the things that God has created, from the smallest ants to the tallest mountains. And we've been talking a lot about the place of humanity as creatures in creation, in contrast maybe to the ways that we sometimes think of our role as having dominion. The actual Hebrew there really calls us to stewardship. Our job in Genesis by God is given to us to watch over or guard the creation. So back to the rogation days, in the life of villages and towns that revolved around the growing seasons, where beyond parish windows you could see fields of green and gold, these spring rogation days were the 3 days before Ascension, when the faithful said prayers for the fruitfulness of creation, thanking God for it and begging God to be merciful, because they knew too well how quickly a sudden storm could ruin a whole field, or how quickly a cloud of grasshoppers could destroy newly planted corn. Harkening back to their beginnings in the planting and harvest festivals, the rogation days invite us to imagine a world in which the human song of praise and blessing is the same offering to the Creator as the babble of the stream or the croak of the bullfrog, the buzz of cicadas, or the whipping of wind over native grasslands, or the roar of the ocean. It invites us to a time where these songs are part of our song of nature. We hear these praises echoed in the psalm, which will be read in the later service this morning, which says, "May God give us his blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe of him." All the ends of the earth seems to point us to the fullness of creation. The rogation days take us back to a time when we lived as fellow creatures. This morning's gospel tells us that Jesus said, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." This one sentence tells us so much about what we should do and about the God that dwells with us. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus' words often display a deep care and respect for creation. In fact, Jesus' reference to creation appear with such regularity that if we speak in general about New Testament themes, creation must be at the top of that list. The vine and the branches, the parable of the sower and the seeds, the lilies of the field, the list goes on and on. Even in the Last Supper, Jesus offers gifts of bread and wine, which are the fruits of creation, to his disciples. And Jesus' words are often held in tension with a deep knowledge and respect for the law, and then hold in tension a sense of the reimagining or reclaiming of what that law might be. Jesus knew the scriptures that we very often overlook, the deep tradition of Torah that we find in Leviticus, where we hear reference to laws and really commandments that speak about how God wants us to take care of the earth. These laws cover stewardship in all of its forms and give us a deep respect for the land. The laws in Leviticus proclaim that we should, as part of creation, allow a time for Sabbath for the land, allow a time for rest for the captives, release of the slaves. Leviticus even proclaims a jubilee year that any civilization would find hard to live into. You might have heard right around 1999, 2000, that the Pope proclaimed a jubilee year in which third world debt was forgiven. So even while we strive to live into these laws that are a deep part of our history, we often find ourselves coming up short. After deep reflection on what Scripture tells us about the planet and the creation, as well as readings which proclaim the overwhelming evidence of our impact on the planet, I find myself coming to think that perhaps environmental stewardship is the foremost pressing missional issue of the church in the 21st century. It's not going to matter what we do with our buildings or parking lots or outreach budget if our planet is not able to sustain us. Today, humanity finds itself on the precipice of environmental destruction and degradation that is unmatched in the history of human civilization. For the first time in human history, we literally have the power to shape the future of the planet, or more literally, to save it. Now is the time to do the work that Jesus has called us to do when he says to keep his words, to love our neighbors in all forms. And in the other reading, which the people at 10:30 will hear, we hear in Revelation a vision for a future that is a new creation, about a future that is at once now and not yet. Jesus, in his life and work and ministry, is the fulfillment of that vision, and through his incarnation, we witness the bringing near of this new kingdom. We often think of writings like the book of Revelation as something other than hopeful, but what we hear in Revelation today actually might give us great hope for the mission to which we are called and the work we are given to do. Revelation tells us that in the end, in the time between then and now, that God makes his home with us and with all of creation. If we reach back into the earlier chapters of the gospel that we heard today, we hear the often quoted passage in chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world." But the Greek word there is cosmos, the fullness of everything that has ever been created. So God so loved the cosmos that he gave his only begotten Son. And even earlier than that, in the very beginning of our gospel today, we hear that the Son that God gave to the cosmos was part of the creative work of God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We can't ignore this mandate to be a part of the work of stewardship of all of creation. All of God was together in the beginning and will be, as our gospel today says, when we will come to them and make our home with them. And in this homemaking in the end times, as our reading from Revelation tells us, is a city, the holy city of Jerusalem in the end, which God does not destroy, a city that human hands have made, but instead makes it new. God brings the creation of humanity into harmony with all of creation. In this new existence, we will participate in the created order in the same way as the rest of God's creation. In the new city, the work of human hands coexists with the tree whose leaves contain the healing of the nations, and the river that gives life to all things. There's no doubt that large-scale action must take place to counter and reverse the effects of human occupation of the planet. Our long-term survival and the continuation of human existence depends on how we work together on a global level. But the mission of the church is tasked with now is that of reshaping our identity in terms that affirm that our primary responsibility is to be good and faithful stewards of all of creation, to know that it is our call and responsibility to watch over and guard that creation. For we have been told that the new earth will be created from the one that we inhabit. Our task is to lean into the love for what God is doing as the Easter body risen, called to be the church in the world and for the world. It is our work of love that Jesus calls us to that will light the way. As the prologue of the Gospel of John tells us, the darkness will not overcome it. And our revelation will actually take us back to a beginning, in a time and place where heaven and earth will meet, where the nearness and the coming near of the kingdom rests in God's hope that we will listen to the words of his Son that tell us to love him and keep his word. Amen.